You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of the Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio Show on 3CR Radical Radio, broadcasting you to you from Naram, Melbourne, Australia. It's Monday, the 27th of July 2026. I think yesterday, European time, there was a bike race and someone won it. Yeah, and probably as much as I want to say about the Tour de France this year. And today's show. Oh, I've got a big one lined up today, but I should do my introductions first. Thank you to Democracy Now! For the last hour of Current Affairs, and we're proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio, we're a show about, obviously, bikes, micro-mobility, urban mobility, getting around, adventures, storytelling, all sorts of things. And today we're zeroing, if I can get my words together, we're circling back, if you want to use that jargon, to Yarra specifically. Now, you might remember about a month or so back, there was, you know, oh, we're going to get rid of line bikes in Yarra, was the clarion call. And it has been for a small cohort of people for a while. Anyway, what happened a fortnight ago that it was voted upon? And that so-called six-year trial is going from, what, 30 days from last week? Now, put this into some perspective. There's been plenty of hot takes and articles and all the rest of it, but what we haven't heard from is from the actual users. So today's show is for them. I've lined up chats with Ari, Troy and Matt, who are users of the scheme. And just to kind of put it into some type of perspective, could you imagine if you've had a bus service or a tram service or something, I don't know, with a bit more lighter allocation, I suppose it's probably a bus service, and you've had used it for 6 years and all of a sudden you're told within a month that this is going. It's pretty much the users don't really know at the moment, unless, you know, there's obviously been alerts or something put through Lime's app. But 440,000 trips, and to read the own details in it, 90% of the users were Yarra residents. A large percentage, I should say, 48% of people who used it would be below median income. So have a think about that. Are we or our decision makers allowing a transport mix, or is it an imposition of something else? Looking, I'm no fan of big corporations and rent seeking and all the rest of it, but if you listen to what some of the people I've spoken to about it, I think, like a few things that have gone on in Yarra, and they're far from over, it's a continuing story and a continuing issue. Today on Yarra Bicycle User Group Radio on 3CR, I'm having a chat to Ari and their experiences with using Lime Bike rental scheme over the last couple of years, Ari?
Using Lime for quite a while. I live in the Council of Melbourne and currently working in the Council of Yarra on Smith Street. But yeah, I've used Lime for quite a while. I've found it to be a really good service in terms of getting around Melbourne efficiently and quickly.
So did you find like you didn't need to have your own bike, you just carried your own helmet or whatever? You didn't have to worry about certain things, about,
Yeah.
bike theft or anything like that, which unfortunately City of Yarra is unfortunately renowned for.
It is a big issue. Look, there's a handful of different reasons. Obviously, an electric bike is quite an investment. It is easier and quicker to get around on an electric bike in Melbourne than it is a normal bike, and you can arrive at the destination a bit less sweaty. And if, you know, if you're at a workplace like I am that doesn't have showers, etc., it can be a lot. An electric bike is convenient, but at a cost, yeah, to buy and then obviously to insure in a community that has a lot of bike theft is another cost of living, that issue that it's pretty hard to live with at the moment. The other thing that I really like about Lime Bikes is that it gives you a little bit of choice about your later travel as well. So if you take a bike somewhere and then you're in a situation where you're moving on to a different place, but you don't necessarily want to have your bike with you. Let's say you're going to town, or you're going to see us going to the see a sports event or whatever, and you don't necessarily want to have your bike on you, then you've got other options of leaving a bike somewhere and then going to another place, which is obviously the benefit of Lime Bikes, of having a hire bike system.
Again, you're probably on the app. You know where the closest bikes are.
Yeah, look, that's the key benefit. Much like an Uber or any other sort of app that's location based. In the morning, I live fairly close to Errol Street in North Melbourne, and I can essentially wake up and look on the map and find a bike. And look, sometimes they're not as conveniently placed, and I have to walk a few blocks for them. But generally, the opportunity of them being able to be left freely where they are generally does make them more convenient. Some councils, I think, are working around that a little bit by having certain places where you can park the bike. So it does tend to concentrate them in areas where you can expect them to be. Those rules have been negotiated between various councils and Lime and other hire bike systems over time. That can help. But yeah, look, sometimes it is a problem to find a bike that's conveniently placed, but other times, you know, largely because of the way the system's designed, you don't generally have to walk too far most of the time to find one.
This is a point of congestion with people. With you find it upright in a nice position and not blocking egress for anyone, that sort of thing, because that's something that just keeps on being repeated. And invariably, from someone who lives in the inner city, I see a bit, but I don't see it bulk examples of
Yeah.
that.
It is a bit of an issue, but it's not a major issue, and I think it's gotten better over time. I genuinely think that bike users have gotten better with it. And also, we live, fortunately, Melbourne, in general terms, and I'm talking about the broader area of Melbourne here and in the councils of Yarra and Melbourne. We do have, I guess, a pretty polite society that, I mean, I've lifted up bikes myself that have fallen down, and I've seen other people do it. I've also moved bikes that have been in the way, or if they're not parked towards the edge of the curb, or they're parked too close to the wall or blocking a pathway. It is particularly problematic for people in wheelchairs and so on, and it can be an issue, but I do agree. I don't think it's anywhere near as big an issue. I'm particularly concerned, particularly in areas like the city of Yarra, where it's a very easy thing if somebody doesn't like the Lime Bike systems for them just to push a bike over and then take a photo of it as well. This idea that this is a massive problem, I think it is really, this discourse is a byproduct of gentrification that's happening in a lot of these areas, and people who are used to having cars or want to be able to maintain their parking. And look, I mean, if you imagine, let's say, three Lime bikes fallen over, they are not going to take up as much space as one car space, right? That somebody just wants to be able to park on the street. So there are, if you were to take one car space away and to provide opportunities for bike parking and concentrate some of these bike parks into certain areas, that would be a minor inconvenience for somebody who wants to walk out and find one for outside their front door, but it would help some of the problems in, I think, and I think there are genuine issues. If you look at the fact that a lot of the bikes have been concentrated to be parked on Smith Street, where there is a lot of foot traffic. It's a busy street, you've got trams. I don't necessarily think that personally that's the best design to have all these bikes parked on Smith Street, but the way that it's set up, and I'm not certain about how these laws have been made, that I would have to park my bike on Smith Street rather than parking it off around the corner somewhere, which might be a little bit more convenient.
The People's Record is a podcast that looks at race, policing, and public housing. Over 5 episodes, we speak with residents, lawyers, academics, and activists about how policing has evolved and public housing communities are targeted. Listen to us on 3CR in August.
Your feelings on it being discontinued in Yarra? I mean, how are you going to get around here now?
It's super problematic, to be frank. I mean, there isn't very good public transport east-west in this part of Melbourne. If you look at it, you know, and even then, I mean, I fell off a bike on a wet tram track on Gertrude Street just recently, and there's parked cars on Gertrude Street that you're navigating, busy foot traffic crossing over to get down to St. Vincent's there. It's really hard to navigate and a car was trying to park, so I came out around the car, slipped on the tram tracks, and I split my head open. So like, this is only like a month or so ago.
Oh,
there isn't very safe traffic for bikes at all. And that was on a fairly sturdy line bike, you know.
Yeah.
And with a lot of other bikes that get caught in tram tracks, that can be an issue. Then you've got Johnson Street, which nobody seems to want to do anything about that. We just want buses and cars and parked cars and thoroughfare people driving through Yarra that don't have any interest in the infrastructure of Yarra whatsoever. You got Alexander Parade, and then you got Victoria Street, both of which are horrendous for cycling. So there's not very good east-west thoroughfares at all, particularly once you get into Yarra. You know, it's not too bad in Melbourne up until Nicholson Street, but then once you get into Yarra, this infrastructure is really poor. The north-south streets in Collingwood are great. You know, you've got lots of reasonably good bike travel and Gore and George and others, and that's wonderful. But in terms of east-west travel, it's very difficult going from West Melbourne, North Melbourne, Carlton, Fitzroy, Collingwood, Abbotsford. It's really unsafe for riders. But at the same time, there's no tram system that goes that way. There's no train system that goes that way. There's a handful of buses that kind of meander through. But again, you've got to get to that bus stop. So for me, the difference between trying to catch the 241 for, say, from North Melbourne Station to the corner of Smith and Johnson is door-to-door kind of looking at around about a 40-minute process. I walk out and I get on a line bike and I can be where I need to be within 15 minutes. And in terms of getting from east to west in Melbourne, there just isn't a lot of options. And so what Mayor Jolly is really saying here is that we want less of that custom base to come to Smith Street. We want to actually make it harder for people in Brunswick and Smith Street to trade with other people in the parts of Melbourne, the other villages of Melbourne, because we're going to make it harder for people to get there. That, I think, is a real shame. And look, to be honest, for my commute, I haven't even figured out what I'm going to do yet. Am I going to ride a bike to put it somewhere on the other side of the park on Nicholson Street and then get a tram, you know, or am I going to have to just like have all this extra planning around trying to catch the bus? And then you've got difficulties with connections as well. So that's problematic. So I don't think this is a smart decision at all for the city of Yarra. And I think it's more of this over-gentrified, highly entitled culture that's creeping into what's been really once a vibrant, cultural, artistic society that in so many ways personifies the culture of Melbourne. And it's just being bled for the sake of gentrification, so somebody can have somewhere to park their massive truck outside of their home, which I think is a sad day for Yarra, for sure.
When a disaster strikes, knowing what to do helps keep you safe. That's the sound of AusAlert, Australia's new emergency messaging system. AusAlert sends near instant alerts to compatible mobile devices during local and national disasters.
As part of the national rollout, we'll be sending a test alert to your mobile device around 2 p.m. on Monday the 27th of July. AusAlert helps keep you informed. Visit ausalert.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
A 3CR supporter.
Yeah, I liked the Lime rental scheme. I used to use the scooters a bit, but I sort of have to admit I don't particularly miss the scooters. I think since the scooters were out, there was more focus on the bikes. It was generally pretty good. Kind of in the north part of Yarra, I used to use the Lime bikes to ride down to medical appointments in South Yarra, which I just found really useful. You know, if I kind of missed the bus or the bus was early or late, I'd go jump on a Lime bike. I also found it useful. It was really handy just to be able to have a one-way trip, which is one thing I really like about bike share. When I lived in New York, bike share was really good for the same reason. You know, I could ride to South Yarra and then from there I could just jump on the train back into the CBD to go to work after an appointment or kind of vice versa. So I really like that whole one-way trip thing. I think it's one thing, it's a real benefit to it. And not having to necessarily be tethered to a bike. You know, a bike can be really handy, but sometimes you don't want to have to lock it and then take it onward to some other thing if you don't want to be burdened with your bike, so to speak. So the bike share is kind of good in that way. I just found it a useful facility. Sometimes you see bikes on the footpath and so on. Whenever I encounter that, I usually just move them off, but I wouldn't have thought it was such a huge problem that we had to kind of nix the relationship with Lime. We'll miss that convenience factor of having them available to me.
Because the option was, when you look through it, there wasn't ever an option, or was it never fully explored? That, again, some of these things may be commercial in confidence, because you're seeing these in Derebin. Derebin have got corrals. It's much neater. It's a much neater, and again, for seeing the service in use for 6 years, look, you saw things, but it wasn't really the issue. You know, you're getting into, well, people do dumb stuff. Are you in a low or high trust society? I don't know. I mean, bad we come at these things.
Well, I'm not even sure it was actually necessarily the bike users that leave them on footpaths. Like, I kind of suspect maybe sometimes someone parks the bike on the street and then someone comes in their car and want to park their car and then they move the bike on the footpath. I'm not really sure. I've never actually seen one intentionally left on a footpath. So I don't know. I just think there's a bit more to that story as well.
The future, how are you going to kind of get around without them, without the convenience? Because I just said in a previous chat that a lot of people would like to use them because of, unfortunately, with Yarra, we have a high percentage of bike theft. People like to use them because we didn't have that problem.
Look, I just had a friend recently have a pretty fancy e-bike get stolen. They used a jack to force open their roller door. So that's kind of sucks. Lime were owned by Uber and they weren't cheap. So, like, I don't really, not going to shed a tear for them as a kind of corporate entity, but, you know, I would like to see something else. So it would be great if something can actually fill the void in future. I mean, that would be good. But I've also heard this kind of rhetoric from City of Yarra before with car share, where the feeling was, why do we let this corporation take public space? You know, it's like, okay, well, if we're going to be a fully socialist society, then City of Yarra would need to operate a car share, which I think we know is completely impractical. Or City of Yarra would need to operate a bike share, which we know they can't do, and it would have to be Melbourne-wide. And even when we did have a Melbourne-wide bike share, as in the old RACV blue bikes, you know, that wasn't actually all that well run, and it kind of folded, partly because of the docking problem. And so the dockless bikes succeeded in the face of that because, you know, it was a lot more fluid and flexible. So anyway, back to like the private corporation thing, it's like, well, it's kind of a symbiotic relationship. If our local governments or state government don't operate a fully socialized system, then a business should be able to step in. And, you know, we kind of negotiate that, well, you know, we're willing to give some of this public space for this operation to run. Kind of argue, rather than like car share as a private company, not monopolizing, but using public space. I would say that's the case today anyway. You know, you go out on the street and the public space is taken up by Ford and Toyota and Volkswagen. So it's already kind of the case that we've given them an externalized cost for storage. I don't see why that is better or worse than if we just did it for car share or bike share. So I just think that's a really flawed way of looking at it. We can decide what we do with our public space, and shared utilities, but just innately more efficient and like a better use of that.
If you want to bring an analogy into which is public transport, and to paraphrase something, public transport runs on shared responsibility, mutual respect, and fairness in a limited communal space. Now, these are things that we are not unfamiliar with, but invariably we're living in a highly commercialized and atomized environment where, unfortunately, as we're seeing in the inner city, just the loudest shouty voices get recognized, and the more diverse sort of thing of people getting on with their lives is just being pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
Well, that was another thing. You know, when Elizabeth Street, we sort of had that thing as well, where a lot of people piped up and said, why wasn't I consulted when there was a consultation process? But these line bikes were taken away and don't remember any consultation process around that. I don't know if I'm thinking about that the wrong way, but it kind of feels a bit like that.
Oh, depends if you're in the in or out group who are in power. That's another way of looking at it.
Perhaps.
Just to round it out, how do you think you're going to get by without having this rent?
I'll have to be a lot stricter with my bus schedule, getting to the bus earlier, I guess. Yeah, and then I guess if there's times I'm taking a bike, I just need to plan it better. Also, yeah, the other thing I had found more useful in the past, you know, if you go out in the evening, like in the CBD or something, unfortunately, we don't have 24-hour trains and things like that. So, you know, if you're trying to get home at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., bikes were pretty handy in that situation. I guess I'm fairly blessed that City of Yarra is pretty close, so I can probably walk it as an alternative. I don't have a good answer for you, Chris. Sorry,
No,
I don't know what
that's
I'll do.
fine. No, it's we're kind of seeing the rise and fall of certain of rental schemes and kind of dockless sort of stuff. We'll see a return to something. It's like with Elizabeth Street, that's out of spec and it will return to some specifications. To use a union analogy, there's no permanent victories and no permanent defeats. You're just going through a bit of a blip.
I think so. So, you know, look, I'm hoping long term that like it would be great if we got a better offering, the Lime, but I guess that they're still embedded in the other councils. Maybe we will keep them, but it's good to have that option rather than none.
CR, here to stay.
In Yarra, I often used the Lime bikes to get around. I found them incredibly useful. Well, particularly getting, so I used to live in Fitzroy North, and if I wanted to get to Richmond to see my friends or just to go out, it was by far the most convenient way to get there. Alternatively, I could have caught two trams, which may have taken 40 minutes. I could have ridden my own bike, but particularly if I'm going out in the evenings, I wasn't super comfortable locking my bike up outside the restaurant, just, you know, for security reasons. So Lime provided a very good service for me because I didn't have to worry about my bike being tampered with or stolen while I was on a night out. And it's really disappointing to hear that the program has been scrapped, but I understand the concerns throughout the time Lime has been operating in Yarra. You know, I often walked around and saw Lime bikes kind of left in really inconvenient places, strewn across the footpath. And I think, you know, a better system, perhaps ensuring that the bikes could only be parked in specific zones, could have mitigated these issues. You know, very sympathetic to the idea that not everyone can just walk over these scooters, and they shouldn't have to if parked improperly or pushed over. So, yeah, very disappointed that their life has kind of come to an end, at least for the time being, within Yarra.
Because I was speaking to a few people about this, and this is what happens with dockless share bike systems. And also, someone may put their bike in an appropriate area, and something else might happen to it after. And that's just something we can't even really measure, because a lot of the criticism of the Lime bike scheme, or the trial, if you say that, because it went for 6 years, was stuff to do with where how they were positioned. And to read the report from a fortnight ago in the council's own agenda, they had 100 complaints in 6 years.
Obviously, those complaints should be taken seriously. And as you know, someone in Yarra, like you can't walk around and not have been inconvenienced by them. And you know, like I'm able-bodied, like it wasn't a huge inconvenience for me. But people in wheelchairs need to be able to easily get around on the footpaths, and you know, people with prams and what have you. It's disappointing that the solution, which kind of we can talk about here, and it seems quite obvious, but it didn't seem like it was more fulsomely pushed forward. I know that there were a few of these like zones that were allocated kind of recently, maybe like a dozen or so around Yarra. You know, you see examples internationally where they've put in a lot of investment into allocating lots of space, and we have thousands upon thousands of car parking spaces around Yarra, and you know, a small fraction could have been, you know, reallocated towards share bike schemes. And it just seems a bit disappointed that all of a sudden they just get scrapped without having properly gone down how we actually solve some of the issues with regards to these rental bikes.
I think there's also an issue how much we can discuss with stuff that's commercial in confidence, but get the overwhelming thing from this version of Yarra Council that they're ideologically opposed to anything to do with removal of car parking spots. And if anything, if you're going to put corrals on footpaths, I'm not a fan of that. On the other hand, as you just adroitly said, that, you know, cars take up a phenomenal amount of space and thing around a contested area such as our inner northern suburbs.
Look, I think in Yarra, the footpaths are small enough. If anything, they should be much wider in most areas. So reallocating footpath space, not really an option. I was recently in the Gold Coast and they have a lot more wider trails, especially along the beachfront there. And plenty of zones have been allocated because of the wide space that they've got for these parking zones for line bikes. Of course, you know, the geography of Yarra is quite different. But, you know, this is the solvable problem. And yeah, it's just a real shame that they weren't willing to try and solve them.
I'm noticing like they're rolling out more in Sydney. There's other parts of the world where this seems to work. And I think, the Simpsons meme, we've all out of ideas, tried nothing. I don't know. Am I being too facetious there?
I think you're on the money there. But also I think it's perhaps the level at which this decision has been made. So I know New South Wales government has, you know, perhaps put in more effort into ensuring that these schemes are viable. They're giving out money to councils to ensure that they are successful because they recognise that these share bike schemes can be a really important part of the transport mix. Maybe the state government, I know that they're chipping in a lot of money for particular active transport projects, but I'm unfamiliar as to whether, you know, discussions were had between the state and councils to ensure that these schemes could remain viable, given that Yarra states that this was a loss-making arrangement for them. The councils are really always talking about how strapped for cash they are. Maybe the state could have played a bigger role in making sure that it could have been ongoing arrangement.
Yeah, well, as you just said in your opening bit, line bikes contributed to the nighttime economy. Also, in terms of security, you don't have the fear or your bike either damaged or nicked. As I said, probably this fourth time today, Yarra, unfortunately, is a bike theft hotspot. And that was another thing that people loved, I think, about the Lime Bike scheme, is that it gave you flexibility without the fear of, I could get my bike done.
Peace of mind is a huge barrier for people taking their bikes and riding somewhere locally. It's something, if I do take my bike to ride, to go out to a restaurant or to see a friend and lock it outside their house, the anxiety of worrying about if it's going to get stolen, yeah, is a barrier for me quite often taking my bike, and it's certainly a barrier for plenty of my friends and other people within the community. Bike theft is a serious like economic issue, and it nudges people away from riding and onto trams, which are viable a lot of the time, but oftentimes much slower, more expensive, and quite often the bike trips are substituted with driving because, frankly, it's oftentimes the quickest and most viable option for a lot of people, which is a real shame, you know.
To quote some of the stuff that was in the agenda, 90% of users were people from the city of Yarra. Also, about 48% of people using it were below medium income. So it was seen as a viable, quittable, if I can say that, way of getting about for a lot of people.
Yeah, certainly. The equity angle is incredibly important to consider. We know that active public transport is utilized by lower SES members of the community. Yeah, again, just disappointing that, you know, this is going to potentially lead to people being worse off, having to spend more money, risk getting their bike stolen. A real short-sighted move by Yarra Council.
And thank you to Ari, Troy and Matt for making time at short notice to talk about Lime Bike scheme that we kind of being phased out in Yarra. But again, these issues are ongoing and it's not far from finished. Anyway, the quickest news item thing I can do. Okay, good news. There's new Swanson Street protected lanes. I'll put something into the podcast description. Also out west, there's the Barclay Street consultation. Help us make Barclay Street better, and that from Barclay Street along Summer Hill Road to Geelong Road, and that's at Maribyrnong Council. I will put that again onto the podcast description. Previous guests for Safer Murray Road, they've got a parliamentary petition out. Also, again, I'll put that into the podcast description. Also, if you use the Upfill bike path, you would have seen that messy bit that's been around the Flemington Bridge area has been tidied up. We've got a new bridge area, new upgrade, nicer surfaces, and a lot of those horrible tree roots and funny bits and pieces there that I knew for a couple of decades have gone, and it's nice and smooth. And a previous guest on the show, I talked to Brent Cotter about Big Bike Film Night. It starts next week, 1st of August in Melbourne, so go to the Big Bike Film Night website for more details. There's probably a hell of a lot more news and events I could probably pack in, but time's up. So remember that 3CR, we're kept on air by subscribers and donators and all sorts of things. And coming up, keep an eye out for benefit gigs. Go to 3cr.org.au and look for the subscribe or donate option. Also, podcast should be up shortly, either on demand, podcast, live streaming and all the rest of it. I'll be back in the studio in a fortnight's time, and Fel and Faith will be back next week. And after the show, make sure you stick around for Crime Scene Australia.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's ride to school programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.